If you are going to use a magnet mount antenna, and you're going to run the wire into the trunk and then subsequently to your transceiver, you should be okay. However, if you're going to use a clamp, a trunk lip mount with a thin lead-in cable, like RG, I think that's 188, you want to be sure that the trunk is electrically connected to the rest of the car. Otherwise, you will have to bond it. Do not do anything through the sunroof. I don't care how thin the wire is. Do nothing with the sunroof. Your drains, if you block those drains, you are asking for serious trouble. Other than that, wire gauge, yes, will depend on your distance. And if you're only going to run a 50-watt transceiver, you should be okay with the 14 or 12. Going through the grommet in the firewall next to your steering column is the safest way to go. Other than that, that's it. That's my two cents. I've put many a radio in many a car. And if you really want to make it neat, boy, I hope you're a contortionist. Because some of these cars, I don't care how big or small, if you don't have the hands of a 6-year-old or even a 10-year-old, it can be really cumbersome to work under a dashboard and get wires around a lot of these cars. Good luck in your installation. Back to Ned. K2BAR, W2NPR.
Yeah, but you need the fingers of a 6-year-old rock climber that you need to be able to hang on one set of fingertips. Not a force you have to be able to exert. Go ahead, Randy.
Thank you. It occurred to me that regarding this issue of poking holes through things and particularly trying to put another wire or two next to or adjacent to an existing wiring harness, there may be some tools that would be useful that aren't generally familiar to the amateur radio community. But if you're a sailor or you know a sailor, they can tell you about or possibly even lend you tools called FIDs. That's Frank India Delta. And the whole point of the various type of FIDs is to separate strands of rope so that you can, in fact, interweave other strands of rope. And the rope can either be a fiber rope or it could be a wire rope where you're trying to make splices. So the reason I happen to mention this is because they are often the ideal tool for doing the kind of thing that's being described here. I just never thought of them in context with copper wire, but it would work as well. And there are many types. There's a plastic type that comes in several sizes that's also relatively short that might be amenable to be using in the tight confines of a under the dash, and that's called a FIDO. It's by an old Navy Master Chief, if he's still alive, James McGrew, and he used to sell those plastic things, and I've got a couple. And there's several other varieties of these things. So again, I might ask you folks on the net to consider asking your nearest sailor for assistance. They may have exactly the tool you need. Back to K2BAR.
FIDs are a really good idea for, you know, cracking open a harness and space and putting conductors through. That's not a bad idea at all. I'm not sure in most cases whether you're going to need it, but it certainly is one shouldn't for holding harness conductors apart. It's a good idea. Alrighty, anybody else?
W2JC, if you Google FID tool for braiding rope, you get lots of hits, sir.
FID for braiding rope. Good. And that could be wire rope. Which didn't know that you could have wire rope, but there you go. Alrighty. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else with comments for Greg?
CAK.
82 CAK first, and then there was somebody else.
Right. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of the grommet through the steering wheel first. Like you say, there's a lot of equipment there. I think the old rule of thumb was if you can do things on the passenger side, you're sometimes less likely to run into as much equipment or less power seats, etc. Of course, today's rocket ships, that might be different, so take that advice with care. This is in the category of, please correct me if I'm anywhere near wrong, Gordon. I'm thinking that ground dependence is a little less dependent on a 5/8 wave antenna. I'm going to stick with the other guy and recommend doing whatever you can to put a mount off of the trunk. Diamond makes several. But I believe you have a little less ground reliance on 5/8 wave antennas, which are going to be a little bit taller. My first year in the hobby, I just used the MFJ mag mount for about $40 that I think is 19 inches tall through the car door. And I would recommend that over the sunroof in a heartbeat. Back to net from KD2CAK.
Yeah, I'll be real. You know, if there's a metallic surface, I just drill a hole in it and done. I mean, I don't apologize. I don't think about it. I research what's underneath the headliner. We figure out where what the best way is to run coax, and we do it. And you're done. And you get the best possible antenna mount possible. So there, done. Having said that, Greg is probably cringing about that thought on the sports car. I would like to hear from him what kind of antenna he's anticipating and where he's thinking about mounting it. So I think we had somebody else who wanted to make a comment first. Who was that somebody else?
KC2VNI.
Speaking of people who know how to research their way through and wander through a car and are willing to watch somebody go whoop, whoop. Marco, thank you again for your help with my vehicle last June. Not to mention your father and Bill KB2OCJ. So with that, what can I do for you? What can you do for Greg?
N2BHZ repeater disconnected. N2BHZ repeater disconnected. N2BHZ repeater disconnected. Connected. N2BHZ repeater.
All right, I think we have Ken also out there. So go ahead, Marco.
Okay, K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. Good evening, everybody there. And I heard a lot of good points here about installation cars there. And the thing about the grommets, like we did in your Corolla we did it on. I did it on my 05 Corolla, my 2013 RAV4. A lot of vehicles actually have wired harnesses. They actually go through the grommet. I actually went through that. On a 2013 RAV4, that was extremely difficult. I actually went through a grommet for the rear washer hose that goes through from all the way to the front to the back. And I was really careful not to pierce the hose to go through the rear washer, but a lot of cars are really difficult to find the wiring harnesses and stuff like that. But I would first search for those things before you do anything to see how you can get through the firewall. It is possible. You really have to go in there and dig in there and really, you know, really search in there and all that. And Hector had made a good point about panels not being grounded. That is 100% true on a lot of new vehicles now. So you got to be cautious about that. And the one point I want to make about connecting directly to the battery, no matter if you're using 100-watt HF transmitter, whatever, VHF, UHF, whatever radio you want to install, always connect directly to the battery. Do not connect to the ground. Certain vehicles now have battery sensors. Battery sensors are very sensitive to knowing that, I mean, a lot of manufacturers don't want you to put accessories, basically. They want to. They don't want you to put accessories for nothing at all. So I will go straight to the battery from PAL and ground. Not, don't do any ground. Just bypass everything and go straight to the battery itself. Just want to make a good point about that. A lot of the battery sensors actually are on the negative side. So if you connect, now the ground's got to go through the battery sensor before it hits. And all the control units and know this kind of voltage drop, so you might have problems. And always look for a system battery, certain batteries. Let me drop for a second. Certain batteries now have, I mean, certain vehicles, mostly common that work for Mercedes-Benz, they have three, sometimes four batteries. You always want to search for the system battery, the main battery, and always connect to a main battery. Like Mercedes-Benz, for example, has a, they call EcoStart, where you stop at a red light, and the car shuts off, and there's a little battery for it for starting your back up again once you let your foot off the gas, foot off the brake. So don't connect to an auxiliary battery, but go to certain manufacturers called system battery, main battery. Always go to that. With a Subaru, you said you had a Subaru, I'm not sure about that, but you said it was brand new, 2015, so a lot of high-end cars first follow, Mercedes, BMW, now everybody else is going to basically copy exactly what the high-end manufacturers are doing. So always go to that. Always go straight to the battery of power and ground. And like Gordon says, always, you know, you always wanted the ground fuse power and the ground side. So just my opinion on that stuff. So I'll give it back to Matt. This is KC2ZMA.
Yep, absolutely. And I got lucky in my car. I mean, I have a switched outlet in the back, which is meant for auxiliary equipment, and I swapped it out for a Anderson Powerpole instead of a cigarette lighter plug because it had come after only a few weeks of such use. And I used it not just to power my radios, but to charge an auxiliary battery bank. And since it switched, it was nice protection against having back feeding the system. So as long as the car runs well and charges the auxiliary batteries, and what I have are, right now I have five, so at some point I'll add more, 12 ampere hour, 12 volt steel lead acid batteries that are run through individual fuses harnessed to a power pole grid block using on the power pole, but there's lead of the battery components, and I just wire them all to parallel. They're good for a couple of things. One is that gives me the option of having lots of deep cycle current, and number one, for all my radio equipment. Number two, I can run it when the vehicle is powered down. And number three, it gives me, I can reach in the back of my car and hand a 12 volt or 2 ampere hour battery to somebody to run a transceiver on for emergency situation. Essentially, the vehicle becomes a mobile charger. So that's pretty cool, too. Alrighty, anybody else?
How do you charge that pack?
Float charge it across the power coming from the battery. From the alternator. Basically, I use the main feed for this auxiliary jack to feed that stack of batteries.
Okay, thanks, WYTW.
I can show it to you, and I can even draw you a scratch out a diagram. It's no big deal. Be happy to, Steve. Anybody else?
One quick note, Gordon.
Yeah, okay. Hey, let me, I heard Bruce and I heard Ari again. Let me drop it and see if Ken wants to say anything on, or anybody else on EchoLink, because we haven't been letting it drop and they can't get in unless we shut up. So let me let it drop. Anybody on EchoLink want to make a comment?
This is N2VH, C0 in Alliance, Nebraska. Just listening. Thanks for recognizing me, and I'll be on the side listening, Gordon. Thanks a lot. And I'm just sitting over here taking it all in. Back to net.
Okay, very good, Ken. November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. November 2, very hertzy, as it were, from Alliance, Nebraska. and formerly of New Jersey, is in. Very good, thank you. Alrighty, Bruce, you had a comment first.
A little trivia, 12 gauge wire, 20 feet long, 20 amp load, 0.64 volt drop. Go to 10 gauge, that same run turns into a 0.4 volt drop. No, not huge drops. You can obviously get by with skinnier wire if you need to.
Yeah, keep in mind that is linear measure. So if it's a 20-foot run, that's 10 feet of cable from whatever your source is to your radio. It's only 10 feet if it's 20 feet.
Yeah, unless you're putting something in the trunk, it's unlikely you're going to need more than 10 feet to get to the radio in the compartment of the car.
I beg to differ because of the routing. You might find yourself easily, you'd be surprised. Not your Triumph Spitfire, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but keep in mind that when they talk about distance, it's loop, not physical length of a two-conductor cable. Alrighty. Let's see. Ari.
Alright, last comments on the install. If you're not a mechanic, these guys weren't exaggerating. Do plan on being on your back upside down on the seat under the dash. I used something called zip cord, which is that nice red and black wire that's all stuck together, and then you can peel it apart at the ends. I found that was easier to feed through. The company that made it says JSC Wire and Cable 2460 Automotive Zip Cord. Mine was number 10. I bought it at KJI. Also, when we talk about boots, we're usually talking about rubber boots. And over the years, again, please correct me if I'm wrong, guys, or any reason you don't like the zip cord. It's just what I used. I think some PhenoSeal, more commonly known as gasket maker, is a good way to reseal that hole if you make one that you find you can't use or need to seal around the wire. KD2CAK, back to net.
Well, I like that zip cord. It's very expensive, but it's fair. And I bought both number 10 and number 12 over the years. They even make 9-6 available, maybe down to a 4, but not common. Alrighty. Anybody else with comments?
82DIG. Don and Miss, people late check in, listening, and enjoying the net. Gordon, thank you.
Okay, very. Dominic, was that Kilo Charlie 2, Victor India Golf?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India Golf. Don, Delta Oscar November, Massapequa, New York.
KE2, Delta India Golf. Okay, very good. Well, thank you. That's very thoughtful of you for your comments. Anybody else?
Alpha Charlie 2, Kilo Yankee, AC2KY, Port Washington, New York, Warren, just late check-in.
Warren, Port Washington, well, you're not exactly around the corner. Good, AC2KY, Atlantic City to Kentucky, very good. Welcome aboard. Anybody else have any comments for Greg's question? Okay, so Greg, we're back to the other question, which is what kind of antenna and where do you want to put it on your vehicle? So that's a very good question. So right now I'm running an HT in the car with a glass mount and on the rear window. I know it's a compromise. So what I'm going to upgrade to is MO mount, trunk lip mount on the trunk, obviously. And it's a folding diamond antenna that's going to go on there, NR770 HNMO antenna. Problem is the trunk opens past the 90-degree angle, so it would be jamming into the rear window, so I need something in the trunk. Number one problem. I have a sunroof, obviously, I've mentioned that before, and GPS, so there's, unless I offset on the roof, there's no obvious place to actually drill into to put the antenna. In terms of the sunroof, what I was mentioning was going through the firewall is that the sunroof drain tube actually has rather large grommet on it that has room to run, to poke a hole in it and run through the engine compartment. The battery is on the driver's side, go through on that side. I also understand that there's another grommet for the ECU that I could go through. I would prefer not going through the steering column grommet. I'd rather go through one of the more static grommets, if you will. So that's kind of the situation. K2 the GFM.
To EIR.
Very good, Greg. Good points all around. Go there, Howie.
Okay, the reason I popped in so quickly is I'm a little bit alarmed about the thought of bringing any wiring that goes from the rig close to the ECU or its wiring, since ECUs are so expensive. Just because we think of it as power wiring does not mean RF does not get on it. That's all I'll say. K2EIR.
And I think Greg said that he would prefer not to go through things that are dynamic. He wants to go through static and avoid the ECU as well. But, you know, there's a pecking order in all good things, right? So, good point. Anybody else? Well, Mr. Greg, for this round, I think we've beaten the subject to death. Thank you for asking that great question. Gordon, you're more than welcome, and I'm glad to contribute. And I will have one for next week for you. Well, and let me remind everybody that next week, while I will likely be on the net, subject to battery power, our good friend Randy, WE2S, is actually going to be the net control because running the net from a bus, coming back from the Right to Life March, is probably not an ideal situation for you guys. So Randy's actually going to run the net, and he'll actually be your active net control. And every so often, if the opportunity, I'll try to check in, make a comment here and there. But moment to moment, he's going to be our master of ceremonies next week, and I thank him for doing that. Anyway, anybody else have any thing for the net tonight? Okay, a gentleman who is very soft-spoken with low audio. W2-VK2, was it? And I didn't get the rest. I didn't get your call or your name, sir. How can we help you?
Yeah, very good. Sorry about the low voice. Thank you for asking for that. My name is Eric, full sign, stroke 6302, Kilo 2, Kilo 2. I like it for a while. Enjoy it. Also, very close to the installation. I'm very chosen. And the right rings are very useful and available. Very, very good for everybody. And Eric.
Let's see if I got this. W2 stroke VK2 Delta Bravo Sierra. Is that right, Eric?
Delta Romeo.
Delta something Sierra. I need that middle letter. Romeo.
Romeo.
Okay, I'm in a car and I'm even standing still and I couldn't quite pull it out. Romeo. Very good. And thank you, Jim, for pulling that out. Alrighty. And yes, your suggestion was ferrite beads on the power leads are wise. Yeah, you have to pick ones that are consistent with the frequency of operation. So if you have an HF radio that and 1 minute you're on 80 meters and another minute you're on 10 meters, you might need different sets of ferrite on those same leads, correct?
It seems to be pretty cool bands, but yes, it doesn't have to be.
Right, but as well, we don't have him here tonight, but Jim, K2ZO points out frequently that the kind of ferrite you use on certain frequencies is different than others. You would be well advised to consider that in the grand exercise of choke RF off the lead, but that's a good idea. Thank you for doing that. Are you a local of somewhat permanent nature, or are you just passing through?
Well, I've been here now almost 2 months. Yes, Bulletproof system. And what you're referring to them, Mr. Bulletproof, and then that is a couple of weeks maybe to the UK at some point in this month, February. But I'm assuming we'll probably be going to Florida. We're going to Atlantic City tomorrow for one weekend.
Splendid. Oh, enjoy your time down in Atlantic City. Just for reference, and your presence is kind of reminding me that I didn't do this. We have a couple of other media outlet elements to this net. Number one is our Yahoo group, which is a closed Yahoo group, but anyone's welcome to join it. It's a ComTech group, one word, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar Uniform Papa. ComTech group at Yahoo groups, that's something you consider. If you can't find ComTech group on Yahoo groups, shoot me W2TangoTangoTango at AWRL.net, AWRL.net, I should say, an email, and I will hook you up. That's not a problem. And you can look at past emails, files that have been uploaded, and all sorts of other useful, nifty resources that are discussed as part of the net. So feel free to sign up for ComTech group. The other little bit of media thing, within a week or so, the nets of that we record here are actually placed in recording by the folks who run amateurradio.tangovictor, amateurradio.tangovictor, will allow you to go through and find any past TechNet, except for the first three back about 8 years ago. So we welcome you to review past nets. What's nice about that is that you can kind of download the thing and you can stream forward and backward, you know, figure out what you want to listen to, et cetera, et cetera. So you have choices. So if anybody has any questions about that, let me know. Anything else for the net, please call K2BAR. Boy, a station that just broke in, you're about 50%, if that. That's being pretty generous. Didn't get your call, didn't get your attention, so what can we do for you?
K2BAR, this is Alpha Echo 2 Kilo, a little better.
Much better, AE 2 Kilo from K2BAR, go.
Yes, I checked in late, I just heard something about the mobile installation. If no one's aware of, there's an extremely knowledgeable hand, his name is Alan, I don't remember the last name at the moment. He has a website, kilozerobravogolf.com, very informative about installing VHF and HF radios in the mobile. Quite often he comments on QRZ and also on EM. And I heard you said you have an NMO mount. That's the best kind of a mount to put if you can do it on your roof. But with all the new cars with a sunroof, you stay away from that. And you may have to go to the trunk if you can, because there's a lot of electronic items. And in my car in particular, I have an Acura TSX. Not only do I have a sunroof, I have front and rear side curtain airbags. So I just threw a mag mount on my trunk. Regarding bonding as well, if you read, you're supposed to the horizontal surfaces. Let me just drop it.
KTBAR. Roger that. Very good. Yes, good point about bonding. You got to make sure all the metal parts are, you know, braided up together and clear the metal and make sure that they're making good contact to improve your ground plane. I actually have curtain airbags in my car too, and you know, with a little help, figured out how to get into the headliner, and then once we figured that, what was where and how not to block it with cabling, found a very nice path down the front pillar and for the coax and drops underneath the carpet and goes from there. backwards to where the radios are located. So I have holes in my roof, and it's all good. And once again, KC2ZMA, thank you for giving me the expertise and confidence in getting that done. If I had to do another amount or repair something, I am totally confident in how to do that. It's pretty cool. Hopefully it's not going to be too hot or too cold. Neither fun nor pleasant, neither extreme. Not to mention, as Ari pointed out, turning yourself into a contortionist. Alrighty, anybody else? Alright, Randy, any last comments from you?
Nothing here, Gordon, thank you.
Alrighty, well, gentlemen, we'll see you maybe at Fairlawn, or some of you at Fairlawn tomorrow night. Barra has coffee tomorrow at the Paramus Park Mall at 8:30 in the morning, I should say. I will not be there. I will be hopefully well down the turnpike heading toward the Naval Academy with my scouts. I'll spend some time with WB4APR, God willing, this weekend. The guy who gave us APRS, which is pretty cool. Anyway, we'll also be doing that talk with N2MH and W2S at the Red Cross Amateur Radio Club on Monday night at 7 p.m. in Fairfield, New Jersey. 7-3 all, have a great night, and if you have any questions regarding the net, please drop me an email at w2tangotangotango@awrl.net. I'd be happy to take care of that, and look forward to hearing from you, and don't be shy about checking into the net in the future. This is K2BAR thanking Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater, and thanking you for participating and making it such a great net tonight. This is W2TTT returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
Gordon, that ARPAS fellow also has done a lot with solar, so if you speak to him, you can talk about that too. K2EIR.
Yeah, I'm well aware. He's active on that 12-volt DC group.
Hey, very good. K2EIR, 73.
Very good. Anybody else? Was there someone else who wanted to make a comment? Probably just the echoing and doubling with you, Howie. Very good. All right, I'm going to let my bride know that I'm alive and well and find out what I can do for her. I go home, pack my bags, as it were, get it all queued up for tomorrow morning, and get off to bed, hopefully, by midnight. Get W2TTT.
WI2W, WE2QBC.
Hey, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Steve, just a quick FYI. We were working away at that soft rock ensemble 3. Turns out the instructions for that particular test are incorrect. The test point's in the wrong location, as we figured out, and the author confirmed today by email to me, and I guess he'll fix it in the next couple of days.
Great. Well, I kind of, I was listening with one ear, and I heard you guys say that you had to, it should be measured from the other side of that capacitor, so here you got it sorted out, and more importantly, got the documentation fixed.
Yeah, it's not fixed yet. I just checked on the web a few minutes ago, but I expect in a few more days he'll get it squared away. And yes, he did steal the graphic from the previous version, the Ensemble 2, and when they changed some of the artwork, he missed that.
Glad you guys were working on it, because I really wanted to play with my amp last
night. No worries. At least we got it, and we got it solved, and we'll get it documented.
Great. Nice job. WI2W.
CU2S, you still around, Randy? WA2QB. If not. Oh, later, Steve. Take care. WI2W, WA2QBC will be clear.
All right, good night, Bruce. WI2W, now clear.
WI2W from K2EIR.
Hey, Howie, what's going on? I guess I'm not clear.
You're clear for another contact. You're not closing.
All right, so what's going on and how we land?
Oh, nothing much. Well, actually, a lot of things, but they're all the personal problems. Just wanted to thank you for putting up with me. Maybe there's some emotional stuff back there with me, all the, as they say, the personal problems. But I really appreciated all the information you sent to me, about the comet antenna and going mobile or whatever. As I said, I've sort of put down, I'm reading a book, I've been reading a book that I need to read while the net was on, and the book is still open in my lap. So I've been staying away from the dongle thing. I have a feeling it's going to require some intense time on my part with my laptop, but I'll get back to it. I'm still excited about it. So, unfortunately, it's been my pattern to start projects and not finish them, but that's because, you know, I have to keep the first priority first, the top one. So, the hobby takes a back seat. But I did want to thank you both for putting up with me and for all the info. K2EIR.
This is a two-way street. She had me info myself. I got my dongle working, and I up the computer to 480. Now, as you click on Spectrum in AR, the radio now follows along. Next step is to go and buy it in Tapwater. Test point. A lot of guys have done it, just tapping it off and claim no problems. Other folks have used the little buffer board, so I haven't pulled the trigger on ordering a buffer board yet, but I might actually hook it up to RetroIDAP. Anyway, that's what's going on with the dongle. So Tapwater guys, we'll get it sorted out. Good luck with that. Sharp remote like that. I don't know how much the cup converter. So the up converter approach is just a so-so approach because it doesn't have a really robust front end or filter. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried. If I put it out in the car with just a hamstick, I don't think it's going to get be exposed to so much that it should overload. But you never know till you find out. It's just more of a question of how hairy it's going to get. I have to tell you that the laptop in here doesn't have a very reliable connection to the Wi-Fi, and I have a possible solution. But when I'm at my computer in the living room, and this is the bedroom, by the way, and this is where the station is, but my regular computer in the living room, I really enjoy when I connect to WebSDR. And those guys are using the RTL2832, and the signals are very nice. Their noise levels are less than mine, so even if I, when I've used the laptop in here on this on the same thing, it's a site in Jersey and a site in Michigan. When I compare it to my receiver here with the loop, I'll hear the same signals, and if they're nice and strong, it doesn't matter, but if they get weak, it's much better through the web SDR, through their site. And that's what's sort of exciting me. If I put this thing in the car, that I'd be able to keep on hearing weak signals, and that would be good. But the loop actually does pretty good. What I have to do with the loop is build an amplifier, and that might make a big difference. K2EIR.
Yeah, very good. I listened to Jeff's site down in South Road, and I'm still on track. So that's a real nice solution. Really impressed with how well it does. I don't know what he's. I haven't looked to see what he's. I'd be curious.
Well, I know the Michigan one. I don't know about K2FDRs. I think he might have an S9 antenna. I don't remember vertical, but the guy out in Michigan is using one of those little sticks. An amplifier, powered off through the coax, PA0 something or other. You probably know what I mean. It's as short as a VHF antenna. It's maybe 20 inches of rod with an amplifier right there as an antenna. Some of the antennas are rather simple, but you're right, K2FDR's antennas are different.
I guess you're talking about an active antenna. This lab's, Nick's lab had to play with one of them.
Well, that's exactly what I mean, active antenna. Yeah. At any rate, both those sites are kind of interesting, and I like, I guess he said his name is Jeff. Jeff, because, it's more, it's similar to
signals I would hear here. It's helpful that way. What I have to try a little bit more, I just haven't had the time to persist, is I'd like to listen to myself on other receivers around the country and around the world and see if I can hear myself on the various bands. That's always interesting. How well do you get through, and you don't need anyone to give you a report.
I haven't tried that recently, but I did have a play a while ago in the crowded band conditions. So. Anyway, I got to run upstairs, Howie, so it's been nice chatting, and I are at WYZ.
Roger. Thanks again, Steve, for all your help. WI2W, this is K2EIR, and I'll probably be closing station.
Yeah, I'm going to RT2. Thank you.
This is W2TTT.
Good. This is Howie, K2EIR. I guess I'm still here. Didn't expect you back on again. I should make a similar apology or statement to you, about our dialogue on the Comtech group about those panels. I hope I didn't beat a dead horse. I do wish you luck. I didn't have time to research your last communication, specifying the charger controller that you found. But I wish you luck with this. It should be interesting.
Well, no offense taken, Howie. A little spirited dialogue is a good thing. No problem, really. Just rocking my way home from the not-so-local Wawa. I know they have really, really strong, unsweetened iced tea. Good thing at this point. Not that it will get in the way of my sleep. It won't. Trust me, another hour or so, I will be asleep. But 5:30 or so, I got to be up and rocking. So if in the next hour I get home and, basically throw a few things together. I don't need to do much, oddly enough. I'm not taking a lot with me on this trip. And I can just get up in the morning, toss it all into the trailer, and roll over to St. John's. And then once I'm at St. John's, I can worry about neatening it up and hardening everything for highway travel.
Roger. Well, I know what you're focusing on. by the way, I wanted to mention that your audio tonight was just fine, whereas W2US, I think I got that right, was really super loud. I mean, well, it seemed to be distorted in my receiver. I know you've had talked about your knees, that I know you've had some problems. I know you've gone back to the doctor, but I might miss next Thursday's net because the next day I'm going in for meniscus repair or whatever they do, but I'm going in for outpatient surgery on my knee. I'm a little scared, of course.
Don't be. It's no big deal. I've not had to do that. I'm very lucky, Howie. Solution to my knee problems was to drop 50 pounds. Problem solved.
Yeah, well, because of my reflux disease, the last couple of months I seem to go through one thing after another. I kept seeming to cough and be sick, and you can still hear something in my voice because I'm still under treatment. But at any rate, it never turned out to be pneumonia, but the drugs they gave me for pneumonia might have caused the torn meniscus I have. Kinds of things are side effects of some people having taken that drug. I've been losing weight. Because part of the diet is don't eat 3 hours before you go to sleep, and I love to snack. I'm very hungry right now, but I'm mostly pretty good about the diet, so I've gone down about 8 pounds. Now, 8 isn't 50, but I really could go down 50 pounds, and that would make it bring me back to the way I was when I was in my 30s, and that would be fine with me. I just don't think I have the discipline to do that, but I'm sure that would make a big difference on my knees. However, since the meniscus is already torn, I guess I'm going to let the surgeon go ahead and take care of that. So, but less weight is definitely going to be better no matter whether I have a surgery or not, I guess.
So what's going to happen in the morning? Your wife's going to drive herself to the train station? You're basically going to put your feet up for about a week?
Oh, I don't know. We didn't talk very much, the doctor and I, or anyone, about what comes after. But he did say that I'd be walking around within a week. The scenario is my wife will go drive herself to the railroad station on Friday morning, and I will have a WA2M that drives me to the outpatient clinic and drives me back. And hopefully I'll be able to get up the 12 steps here when I get back. The doctor did say bring a cane. And apparently they, you know, the recovery is very fast. Of course, it's, you know, arthroscopic surgery. I wasn't too thrilled to hear the doctor say he was going to drill two holes in my knee. But that's a lot better than the alternative, so to speak. And I know that part of the exercise the doctor will want me to do is go up and down steps. So hopefully my needing to go in and out of the apartment will be part of my therapy. And the other exercise he said he likes, which I had mentioned I wanted to do, was I use a recumbent bicycle, but I have to get to it over in the fitness center. I do that for my back, so maybe that'll be part of my recovery. If not, I may have to go to rehab at the local hospital, just like I used to take my wife. The question is whether I'll be able to drive myself or I'm going to have someone like my daughter take me every time. That's the big open question. K2EIR.
You know, Howie, your surgery is scheduled for tomorrow morning, right?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, good. So you got a whole week. So here's what I'm going to recommend you do in the coming week. Line up every deferred ham radio project that you possibly can. Rack and stack them in a convenient place for yourself and milk it for about a weekend or even a week. You know, I think you deserve it.
Gordon, thank you. I really had some passing thoughts about doing that, but quite frankly, the reason I never get to those things anyway is somebody around here has to buy the food, do the laundry, et cetera, et cetera. So as much as I am able to move around without damaging myself, I'm still going to have to do those things, you know. And if I get anybody else to do them, they're going to have be less willing to help me with the other things I have to do, you know, get down boxes that might have the, you know, everything here is scattered. For example, I have a, what you might call a vise, but basically a mount for printed circuit boards. So if I want, that's what I was using for the software-defined radio, the G40 that I bought from Genesis Radio. Well, it's somewhere up in the attic, and I'm not going to be able to go up into the attic, and nobody else is going to be able to find it. So it sounds very nice, but I don't think I'm going to get too many ham radio projects done.
You got a week to deal with, to find that stuff. Go find it. Absolutely. And you know what? Your daughter's got to learn to grocery shop, and your wife has to deal with the fact that, God forbid, you predecease her, she's going to have to deal with the laundry and the grocery shopping and the cooking.
I know, but it just doesn't work. She's so overloaded chronically. It's just someday I'd sit down and tell you what things are like. It's just it isn't as simple or as easy. And again, it's all the interactions. It's not just one of us. And that's just the nature of things. My wife is, you know, what is it now? It's 11 o'clock. My wife will probably be up another hour, still working on stuff for school tomorrow, maybe even 2 hours or 3 hours, because she sometimes does that. And she'll still get up at 4:30 in the morning. And so she doesn't feel she has any time. And she doesn't. And she's bringing home the bacon, what can I tell you?
Okay, and then there's your daughter, but we're going to go round and round again, so I'll stop there. But anyway. Alrighty. Well, good luck with your knee. I suspect it'll be a lot less worrisome than you think, and you know, plus or minus all the rehab that has to be done, it is what it is. So do it aggressively, do what the doctor tells you to do, and maybe more, you know, as long as you exceed significant stresses that don't want you to mess with, you know, work that knee and your overall leg structure as best you can, as much as you can, in fighting spirit, no time.
Okay, I was going to follow something like that anyway, so I hope I will. Thank you for those words. Okay, I think I really this time am going to close station and probably get ready for bed pretty soon, too. Safe journeys, because I can tell you're still mobile. I thought you were home. And have a safe trip, a fun trip, and we'll speak to you anon, or in the devilogue, or something like that. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Okay, Howie, 7-3. Be well, and thank you for the good wishes. I'm not far from home, maybe 5-10 minutes away, and after that, I'll pack up my stuff and get ready for tomorrow morning. Off at the Scouts at O-Dark 30 to go to Annapolis. It'll be a lovely day. So 7-3 and be well. K2IR, W2TTT.
Thank you.
on mobile.
Good morning, Cage 2, be alarmed.
Hey, good morning, Rocky. I'm on my way. I'm probably about a mile away from the mobile station. Grab my coffee and get back on the road. Had an alert this morning on my phone about the George Washington Bridge. And when I read it, I thought it said the lower level to New Jersey was closed. And I'm thinking, Jesus, I haven't gotten an alert on that phone in about 2 weeks. The one day... Hold on a second. I don't know what the hell's going on 440. The one day I need to go over to George, and I can't, but it turned out the lower level to New York is closed, so everything's cool. I should be there pretty early. Kitty 2, BOR, N1LU, mobile.
Okay. Yeah, Don mentioned something the other day. He was monitoring 900, and I was talking, and he said, Rock, you're coming over the 900 machine, too. And then the other day when I was talking to him, he was coming across the 900 machine being on this one.
Yeah, I'm planning on going to the luncheon on Monday. So I'll ask some of the guys there that are technically savvy with this repeater and find out if that's a normal occurrence or if it's something else.
Yeah, I thought maybe... we were being rebroadcasted like we were on the other one night, but I didn't think that. Then I looked at it. It couldn't have been.
Yeah, I think it's just some RF bleed over or something that's getting into that other machine. But anyway, I've got the headset, so I remember to do that. Put it in the car right when I got home. And I brought my TYT mic. If you want, I'll leave it with you. And then when I get the cable, I'll bring that. If you got too much stuff in your shop, it's not a big deal. I'll just leave it in the car.
No, that's no big deal. I'll just throw it on top of my computer cabinet, on top of the radio cabinet here. I got everything else thrown up there.
Yeah, that way at least half the battle's won. I've got the mic to you. As soon as I get the cable, I'll bring that over.
Very good. I like the temperature again this morning. I came out, it was 28. Like I said yesterday morning, that beat 12.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got 29 now, and I heard it's 31 in the city, so it's not too bad. It can only go up from there, hopefully.
And 1OU, KD2BOR, would you know the old saying, what goes up must come down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just battling through the winter. Almost done with January. Doesn't seem to want to end, though.
Hey, just think, we got another couple weeks to pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, that's always nice when you hear about spring training starting.
About you guys make a decision on your putty tat yet?
Yeah, I stopped at the vet yesterday, and we're bringing him in President's Day, because I'm off and my wife is off. So she'd have a hard time getting him in the cage, you know, in the carrier. So I'll put him in the carrier, and we'll bring him over together and pick him up together.
I don't know if this is the same cat, but maybe I should give you the yellow box back. Yeah, no problem getting in that.
Actually, they both like the box. I think I just sent you the picture with the mackerel tabby in it, Mac. But no, this is the black and white cat. They'd probably get a little upset if I closed the box on them. But I got a nice little carrier. Gives them plenty of room. But he's not going to be too happy when I put him in there because he knows where he's going. Doesn't know what they're going to do to him, but he knows where he's going. All right, give me a minute. I'm coming up to the mobile station. Let me grab my coffee. KD2BOR and 1LU mobile.
82 BOR will be here.